Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you.
And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And yes, I am a realtor in the North Carolina markets, but crazy is not just in the South. So today I'm going to bring y'all somebody from the state that is south of me, but not really the South. Addie Owens is joining us from Florida. Addie, thank you for coming on the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
So tell our listeners a little bit about you, where you're located, how long you've been in the business, any tidbits they should know to understand.
I come from the great state of Florida. I live in a small town called Mount Dora. I'm not sure if anybody's heard of it or not, but it's a cute little charming town in the middle of the state. We are about an hour and a half from the East Coast and an hour and 45 minutes from the West Coast, just north of Orlando. I have been in the business for about 13 years. Primary source of my business has been REO properties, which has created some great stories in my career. I've got two children. They're 18 and 19 and just outside of the intolerable stage. And I am married with a dog at home. So it's fun. That's where I'm at.
Okay. So if you're a normal person listening, you should know that REO is code for foreclosure properties, and it stands for real estate owned. And it's arguably the most fun part of real estate. In fact, it's the part I don't really want to delegate ever in my own business, because there's so, there's just no way to put your arms around it. It's just a new adventure in its own special way. So, Addie, with that being said, 13 years in the business and an owner of your own office, don't forget to mention that you are one of our fabulous female brokers, entrepreneurs. Tell us, when you're faced with the question of what have you seen while doing real estate, what is the story you tell?
Oh my goodness. There are so many to pick from, but the one that stands out the most is the one that I refer to, the Panty Palace story. So in my years of REO, we have seen a lot, but this one particular one, this one particular story, I was contacted by a bank, and I won't say their name, but their name does include an ampersand. And I was assured by this wonderful female asset manager. And mind you, I've worked with a lot of asset managers, and some are just so pleasant to work with, and some are not. And some are detached, and some are very, very thoughtfully engaged. But this one female asset manager contacted me by phone, gave me an advance warning of the asset coming through, and assured me that this house, this mobile home in a rural area, had been confirmed vacant. So I thought, well, that's great. I did my usual pre-marketing checklist. I contacted the locksmith and scheduled his services. And we always like to go together. So I would schedule my initial appointment with the locksmith if it had been confirmed vacant. And so that way there was safety in numbers, especially in this particular house, this mobile home. It was located in a somewhat rural area. It was a heavily wooded lot with a paved street, a sand mine or a limestone quarry. So locksmith gets there about 15 minutes before I do. He was usually a little bit early, and I'm a realtor, so I'm notorious late. So he gets there, he calls me, and he said, Addie, are you sure this house is not occupied? And I said, well, asset manager has assured me that they have confirmed that it's vacant. And he said, well, I hate to tell you this, but it's full of stuff. And I said, okay, well, that doesn't necessarily mean it's not vacant or unoccupied. Are you sure that? He said, the refrigerator's running and there is food on the counter. I said, okay. So I said, we probably have a squatter. I'll call the local authorities. I got them on the phone, said, hey, can you meet us at this property, please? We need to make sure that if it's occupied, that it's not by the former owner, or if it's a squatter, we need to have them removed, or, you know, turn in motion the things that require removing a squatter. I get there. We open the door, and there are, first things first, you can barely open the front door because, number one, the front porch is completely overgrown by a jasmine vine. So there's a ramp leading up to this mobile home, overgrown by this massive jasmine, basically an arbor that's kind of overgrown over the front door. So get to the front door, we open it as much as we could, and there are Busch beer empty cases like throughout the entrance of this mobile home. And as soon as you walk in, there's a big easy chair, and it should have been maybe beige, but it was beige and black around the arms. And when you open the door, there were about 2 feet of those Sunday circular ads. You know, the Sunday circular ads are color. They've got coupons. They've got advertisements in them.
That's the whole reason I subscribe to the paper, is to get the coupons. I'm not going to lie.
Amen. Every Sunday, that's the only thing I want, is the coupons and the ads. So there were about 2 feet thick, deep throughout the entire house of just the panty sections.
What? Wait, through the whole house?
Through the whole house, 2 feet deep. I mean, we had to step over, through, push things around. And then you had like this massive pile of the empty Busch beer cases. So at about this point, the local deputies arrived, the county sheriffs, and they come in through the house, and we walked room by room through this house, and we stepped into the master bedroom, and I hadn't quite noticed because there was so much to look at. Not only were there 2 feet worth of circular ads, there were in the master bedroom mounds of panties of all shapes and sizes, from little girls to big women's panties. And I had noticed after I saw that they were not only in the master bedroom, they were in the master bathroom, they were in the master closet, they were strewn throughout the house, in the kitchen, they were everywhere. So we get through the master side, we go across, because it's a split plan, we go across the living room and turn a corner, there's this little hallway, and then you see the second bathroom. Well, in the second bathroom, apparently this person liked souvenirs. So inside the second bathroom, there was little bottles, like Windex bottles, Pepsi bottles, those sorts of things, with tiny amounts of fluid in them. And then there was a shelf right outside the bathroom full of his adult film stash. You get where I'm going with this? He was collecting his own fluids.
Disgusting.
Yes. So then we go into the second bedrooms. And in each bedroom, there's a freezer with, you know, that flypaper, the roll kind that you hang from the ceiling, it rolls down, it's sticky.
Uh-huh.
In each bedroom, there was a freezer, and I looked at the sheriffs, and they looked at me, and I said, do you have a warrant? So they did not obviously have a warrant because they had just been on scene, and I said, do you need a warrant? Because there's two freezers right there. We've got panties everywhere. We've got souvenirs in the bathroom. They would not open the freezers, and I don't know what they did after that. But needless to say, while we were standing there, the occupant arrived back on the scene.
No way.
Yes. Thank God that the locksmith got there, because I had noticed that in the kitchen, which is basically the back of the mobile home, there is a window that was open about 2 feet. Mind you, there are some occasions when I would go out to a property on my own. But most occasions I would call the locksmith if he was available. So occupant comes back around and he's got a truck. He's the deputies take him outside and they're talking to him. It turns out he was actually in the house when the locksmith got there and flew out the back window, because he had told the bank, sure enough, that he had moved out. Nope, no problem. I've moved out. Nobody lives there, even though he stayed. So when I took pictures of all these, and I'll have to share them with you sometime, but there was actually a made sandwich sitting on the sink, like right in front of the ledge of the sink. He was just about to eat his lunch when we interrupted his day.
I mean, there's so much to unpack here. Just so much, so much. But let's just focus on one of the most important aspects, which is realtor safety. And kudos to you for being the kind of professional who knows that no matter how tough you are, and this doesn't just apply to women, man, realtors out there, this applies to you too. By yourself is not safe.
Correct.
Because this guy sounds like, from my non-professional far distance opinion, that he might have needed some professional help. And somebody that needs professional help is probably needing to be with multiple humans at one time if they're in his house.
Correct. Yes.
So kudos to you for doing it the right way.
Well, thank you. Well, the story continues. Let me tell you. So we depart this day. We can't secure the house because obviously he was the borrower. You can't just kick him out of their house, even though he told the bank that he had left. So we had to go through the eviction process. And then we have a crew called property preservation that comes in after they're done, after the eviction happens. So they have to come in and clean out this house. So they took about 3 dumpsters full of debris out of the house. Well, the way that the property was situated, the mobile home was up towards the street, and it was 3 acres, and it sloped downwards towards a lake at the end of the property, and it was very heavily wooded. So I get a phone call from the property preservation crew. And mind you, at this point, I'm a little pissed at the asset manager because she put me in a very, very dangerous situation. And I was lucky that I had backup there and I wasn't by myself, because otherwise I'm feeling I would have been a souvenir somewhere. So property preservation calls me, says, "Have you been out to this property since our last encounter?" And I said, "Nope." And he said, "Well, it's a good thing that you hadn't, because even though he said that he left, he actually had built a shack down at the end of the property near the lake and had been living in the shack."
Oh, this is very unhealthy behavior.
Amen. So needless to say, I declined the property. I said, after that, I said, "I'm done. This guy's a problem, and it can't be me that, you know, is going to be put in this unsafe situation." So I was done. No more of that one anyway.
So did you ever follow up with the sheriff's department and find out if anything ever shook out with that guy?
You know what? I didn't. I probably could have, but the guy gave me such the heebie-jeebies, and, you know, my card was in transaction through our communication. My card had flipped around a couple times, and I really just wanted nothing more to do it. I told him, "If you ever need a witness, I'm here," and they never followed up with me either. So I hope to God that he's not, he's found some peace in his life.
Exactly. We just hope that he's found where he's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. Even if it's in a cell with 4 walls and steel doors.
I mean, you know, this is the kind of situation that once you're in it, I bet you never again even thought about going to a property that was a foreclosure by yourself. I mean, it's one thing to go to an occupied property in a neighborhood where you live with your buyer clients, but to go to a property like this by yourself, never again.
No, never again. I always schedule it with either the locksmith or the property preservation crew for occupancy check. I never went by myself after that. I was completely done. I was a single mom at the time with 2 kids. I don't have time to get killed.
who would take the children? We don't know.
I don't know. That was just a scary thought to me.
But you gotta remember too, so if you're a normal person listening to this and you want to buy a foreclosure, you know, this is why, as your realtors, we do background checks on you, our buyers. It's why we want to check your ID, because if we take you with us and we wind up at the house we thought was empty, but it's got Mr. Panty Man in the house and he's been drinking enough Busch Light to not be in his best mood, we don't want to put you at risk either. So this is why there exist safety manuals and procedures. It's not just for the realtor, it's for the people we represent too. And as a realtor, you can't put your client's safety at risk. So be smart enough to know where you're going and who you're going with, and then tell somebody. Even if you're not bringing a locksmith, you could call your spouse or your partner at the office and say, "I'm going to the trailer again," and then they know where to look for you.
Exactly. That's it. I even added it to my email signature that we require a copy of a driver's license before we'll meet anybody at a property. And I encourage all my agents to do the same, because it's not just our safety we're concerned with, it's our customers too. And we are, even not necessarily bank-owned houses, it could be any house, maybe an absentee owner or a vacant home that's not a bank-owned house. You can never take it for granted. There's always opportunity for squatters.
Yeah, and it's vacant properties that make me the most nervous, no matter what the situation is.
Yeah, right.
Because we have seen squatters, and I do think it's funny that at your length of time in the business and how many houses you sold, that you just talk about squatters like it's just a daily occurrence. You know, "Oh, it might have been squatters. No big deal."
Well, in my world, it was a daily occurrence.
Which is why if you're a newer realtor listening to this, this is why you get a mentor, because you might flip out the first time you encounter squatters. You need somebody to talk to who gets the process and can walk you through it like an addy.
Oh, amen. I'll walk you through it all day long.
And then we're going to have a cocktail later and laugh about it, because it's only funny after the fact.
That's true. I agree. That's true. I think I had about 3 glasses of wine that night.
I'm pretty sure you were due at least those 3. Yes, ma'am.
At least. Oh, great times. Well, thanks so much for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. And if you ever need more good stories, you know who to call.
Well, and if our listeners want to know who they should reach out to smack in the middle of Florida, north of Orlando in Dora, how can they reach you?
They can reach me by going to addieowens.com. That's the easiest way. You just press the button if you're on your mobile phone to call me, and it'll go directly through to my cell phone.
And because you're realtors, it's okay. We know you don't know Addie's name at this point or her contact information. So it will all be in the show notes for this episode so that you can reach out to her with any questions you have about her market and how she can help you buy and sell property in a way that will keep it absolutely something worth drinking a glass of wine over.
Amen. I'm happy to help anybody and share pro tips.
Exactly. And if you're listening to this and you have your own story to share and you think you can beat the panties and the Bush Light, then you should give me a shout at Lee Brown on Twitter or any of the social networks, be featured in a future episode of the show, and subscribe for more episodes, because seriously, you don't know what's coming next. So we'll see you next time.
If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes. And as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.